As an unlicensed doctor, we suggest a prescription for one of our shows. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Fake Doctor's Orders. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
To coast in Canada, across the U.S. and around the globe in the World Wide Web, this is Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network, presented by Subaru. And Raceline is driven by the 2017 Subaru WRX and WRX STI. Nothing sounds like it or drives like it. Learn more at Subaru.ca. And by the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe. Subaru, confidence in motion. Presented by Subaru, we're Canada's national radio motorsport authority, Raceline Radio. I'm Eric Thomas, and welcome to the best of Raceline Radio. Brad Hoffman is our faithful crew chief for the series once again this year. Thrilled to have him back aboard. Over the Christmas and New Year's break, it's a Raceline Radio tradition to present a series of best of shows where we go back into the Raceline Radio archive for some replays of some of the best all-star interviews from the 2016 racing season, our 24th year on the air. On this week's Best of Christmas special, A Land of Legends, the frontman for that little old band from Texas, ZZ Top, guitarist-vocalist Billy F. Gibbons, is with us again, taped during the Spring Motorama Custom Car Show and Motorsports Expo. NASCAR legend Bobby Allison was featured during that same expo. We spent a few minutes with him as well. Speaking of legends, drag racing's first lady, Shirley Muldowney, talks about her 2016 tour for charity, and IndyCar legend Rick Mears promotes the 50th anniversary of Penske Racing. So for race fans, affiliates, sponsors, and partners, powerful sport, powerful radio, this is the best of Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Dario Franchitti, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Master, what makes a man great?
Close your eyes and tell me what you hear.
I think I hear the rumbling of power, Master. Is that the thunder of destiny calling me to dig deep within to find my own strength?
No, my son, that's just Master Han and his 2017 Subaru WRX STI.
Hey, anyone need anything from the store? A gum?
The 2017 Subaru WRX STI.
Butter?
Nothing sounds like it. Nothing drives like it. Subaru, confidence in motion.
Did you hear about Frank? Arrested for drunk driving? I never would have thought he would make that mistake. He's got a great job and is a terrific dad.
Not all drunk drivers are the same, you know. They can be male or female, all different ages, come from all walks of life.
There are many types of drunk drivers. Some drink and drive rarely, while others do it all the time. That's why we have a variety of strategies to deal with them.
You know, a good friend of mine was charged, and she almost never drinks.
Speak your mind. ChangeTheConversation.ca.
It's rush hour, and you just want to get home for dinner. You're starving because the last thing you ate was a chocolate bar at your desk.
Then it hits you.
You open the glove box, and there it is. A bag of deliciously tender Jack Links beef jerky. You pop in a piece, slide the bag of Jack Links onto the passenger seat, and you and Jack Links ride off into the sunset.
Or at least you would if you weren't stuck in traffic.
When cravings kick in, why not choose a snack that you can feel good about, and that's low in calories, fat, and carbs. Jack Links has guilt-free snacking in the bag.
Feed your wild side.
Master, what makes a man great?
Close your eyes and tell me what you hear.
I think I hear the rumbling of power, Master. Is that the thunder of destiny calling me to dig deep within to find my own strength?
No, my son, that's just Master Han and his 2017 Subaru WRX STI.
Hey, anyone need anything from the store? A gum?
The 2017 Subaru WRX STI.
Butter?
Nothing sounds like it. Nothing drives like it. Subaru, confidence in motion.
Welcome back to the best of Raceline Radio. I'm Eric Thomas. It's our traditional replay of some of the best interviews from our 2016 racing season over Christmas and New Year's. To get us going, it was another smash hit Motorama Custom Car and Motorsports Expo in Toronto back in March to get the 2016 campaign underway. Thousands visiting our Raceline Radio Network Canadian Motor Speedway display complete with Jeff Gordon's NASCAR Sprint Cup number 24. Well, our friends at Inside Track Motorsport News, who stage Motorama, always manage to collect a solid lineup of special guests and attractions every year, and this year's lineup was no exception. Underlining that critical connection between cars and guitars, racing, rock and roll, and blues, they brought back that long-bearded guitarist-vocalist from ZZ Top, Billy F. Gibbons, to talk about some music and his deep-seated love of custom cars, hot rods, and race cars. As you know, it's not the first time Raceline and Billy F. have connected. We had Gibbons on with us several seasons ago to talk up a brand new book on Billy's hot rods and guitars. The guy has been good to us indeed, so to get us started, from March 27th, ZZ Top's Billy F. Gibbons on the best of Raceline Radio.
Great to have you back in Canada, and I know it's always a treat for you to get up here, especially when you're surrounded by ZZ Top fans and the guitars as well.
Well, it's a pleasure to be surrounded by not only ZZ Top fans, but custom car and hot rodding fans and followers. This is a dedicated and committed group to excellence. It's really interesting.
Billy F. Gibbons with us on Raceline Radio. You've been asked this question 1,000 times, but it's always intriguing to hear the answer. How did the power trio sound of ZZ Top and what you're doing musically, Bill, how did that latch into the car thing, the hot rod thing specifically? It has deep roots. Just give us maybe a little history of that.
Well, as my mom informed me, my first words were Ford, Chevrolet, and Cadillac. So this fascination with things of rolling steel. Well, a fan of, the famous custom car and hot rod magazines way, way back.
Sure.
Were always a fascination. And then to top it off, there was a family at the end of the street that had two young fellas that not only did they have a teen combo, a real hot rock and roll band.
Nice.
They had a 27 T Ford Roadster and a chopped and lowered 57 Chevy.
Gorgeous, nice.
So
yeah,
we were surrounded from day one.
So you're surrounded from day one. Does it evolve, or does it always go back to the hot rods? You know, the Eliminator style hot rod, or do you get into that mind frame? Sometimes it is a futuristic kind of thing too, where you're getting into some of the wilder stuff, the more future looking stuff.
Right now we're working on a 33 Ford, which has got a Bonneville chop on the roof line, as mail slot windows,
nice.
Fenderless. It's the bad little sister from the red Eliminator coupe.
Oh, nice.
It's going to be fine. We call it the Whiskey Runner.
Fantastic. Your favorite guitar, Pearly Gates. Lots of people listen to this. I'm a guitar player, bass player as well. When you've got a guitar that valuable to you, how do you store that thing? I mean, people have them in closets, under beds and stuff. Like with a guitar like Pearly Gates, which you don't tour with anymore, that I don't think you do, what do you do at the house to store that to make sure she's still around, you know, long after you're gone?
Well, she's kept in a safe spot, but she does indeed make the occasional road trip.
Good.
Certainly in the studio, she's, you know, first and foremost.
Sure, sure.
And we have developed a sound in no small part is a direct result of that crazy output of Pearly Gates.
And no other Les Paul sounds like that one.
We've yet to find one.
The power trio thing. The trio thing never seems to get old. It's one of my favorite formats. It doesn't matter whether what kind of music you're doing. You're doing progressive rock, you're doing just basic good old-fashioned kick-ass rock and roll like ZZ Top does. There's just something really nice and gritty and very homey about that trio, that whole concept that never gets old.
Well, the trio format has been around forever.
Sure.
The real corner turner was Cream.
Big fan.
And the Jimi Hendrix Experience. And I can unabashedly say what a pleasure it was when I was 17. I had a band pre-ZZ Top called The Moving Sidewalks.
I remember it very well.
And we were invited to join that Jimi Hendrix Experience tour.
Sure, yeah.
And that kind of was, we were sold.
Have you ever been tempted to add another instrument, bring a keyboard player in, or is it sort of counter to what we were just talking about, that you don't want to spoil that basic trio format?
Well, I branched out with a little solo project called Billy Gibbons and the BFGs.
Right.
And that sprang from an invitation to appear at the Havana Jazz Festival.
Nice.
And as you know, I can try and do a little blues and try and do a little rock, but this jazz thing was way on the other side. But we didn't want to crash the Havana Jazz Festival with a rock and roll party, so we hunkered down and created this Latin Afro-Cuban styled release called Perfecto Mundo.
Oh, nice.
And we've just returned from the appearance in Havana.
Right.
which seem to go over quite well. Yeah. Those folks are smart, they are well-educated, and they're very much with it.
Well, there's always that fine line between jazz and blues, right? I mean, it's kind of blurry sometimes, isn't it?
I would tend to agree. Yeah. There's a little bit of that in it. And certainly what's not talked about very often is the presence of Cuban influences, and that goes from pop even into rock and certainly blues. Mm-hmm.
What's the latest project, or the next project, I should say, the next project for ZZ Top?
The good news is that this excursion, this solo outing with Billy Gibbons and the BFGs left my two partners and ZZ in the studio creating their versions of some new ZZ Top sounds.
Oh, nice.
And that should be forthcoming, just around the corner.
Pleasure. Big fan. Always have been. Thank you so much for the time.
All right.
ZZ Top's Billy F. Gibbons on the Best of Raceline Radio, a legendary guitar and vocals man, a special guest at the Motorama Custom Car and Motorsports Expo in Toronto back in March, who loves custom cars, race cars, and hot rods almost as much as we do. Still to come, NASCAR legend Bobby Allison, drag racing legend Shirley Muldowney, and IndyCar icon Rick Mears, all coming up on the Best of Raceline presented by Subaru. See your local Subaru dealer for a performance drive today on the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, this is Rick Mears. Raceline Radio returns in a moment.
This ain't like when you're at a game and sign up for a credit card just to get the prize and then you immediately cancel the credit card. Because there's no prize when you sign up for our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Eric Thomas coast to coast with the Best of Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network. Last guest segment, we played you the interview with ZZ Top's Billy F. Gibbons from this year's Motorama Custom Car and Motorsports Expo, talking about his love of guitars and cars. In this guest segment, another special guest attraction at the same expo, a true NASCAR legend, Hall of Famer, and three-time Daytona 500 winner who has deep racing roots in this country and is never afraid to lay on a little criticism of the sport and its rulemakers. The chairman of the board of the old Alabama gang, it's Bobby Allison on the Best of Raceline Radio.
There's a lot of history with you in this country around Cayuga Speedway and a few other parts. So talk about a little bit of that history. I mean, you did some guest driving with, you know, at Bob Slack's Cayuga Speedway and when Davey was around. And just talk a little bit about some of the memories there, the Matador that you had out there a couple of times. I mean, we're going back a few years here, Robert.
Yeah, that's for sure. And actually, you know, I think I also brought my little Hornet here.
Yeah.
You know, the little AMC, the baby Matador. And it ran really good. You know, I got a win or two at Cayuga, the three or four or five times that I came. But met some friends here in Canada that I've just really had a great relationship with for a long time. Especially the Slack family.
Yep.
And, you know, Bob Slack is just really great supporter of my career and of racing in general. And bounced around. I ran at Pinecrest and Saint Air. And just when I had my little mishap back in 88, I was going to go to Calgary.
Right, right. Yeah. We're on the air in Calgary and the Maritimes as well, so they're hearing this.
Yeah, I flew into Calgary early for a press conference and a press tour and had a great time and flew back but never made it back. So,
it's a big country, you know.
Yeah, it is.
It really is. NASCAR legend, three-time Daytona 500 winner Bobby Allison is our guest on Raceline Radio. You look back in your history, two incidences are hugely marked in the lineage and the history and heritage of NASCAR. One, of course, your Daytona 500 wins. The scrap with you and your brother and Cale after the first flag-to-flag coverage with Ken Squire describing that. Talk about that scrap at the end of the Daytona 500, the blizzard on the East Coast. Everybody was talking about it. It's one of those historical moments, Bob, where it all just seemed to fit in and all drop into place, and it's never going to be forgotten.
Yeah, you know, I had won the Daytona 500, my first Daytona 500 win the year before.
Yeah.
But early in the race, Cale and Donnie and myself got together, and all three of us ended up down in the mud. We're racing there at the end. Cale was trying to put the move on. That didn't work, so he decided to just go ahead and wreck him. And Cale started yelling at me that the wreck was my fault.
Okay.
and I questioned his ancestry. He didn't. That didn't settle him down, and he ran toward me. And he stopped out there about 8 or 10 feet from the car, had his helmet in his hand, and cussed at me some more. And I questioned his ancestry a little bit further. And he lunged at me and hit me in the face with his helmet.
Yeah.
And it cut my nose and my lip. I mean, it, really, it was quite a...
Felt kind of poorly, too, didn't it?
Yeah. And so I had to get out of the car, and I felt like I had to get out and address this situation right now or run from him the rest of my life. I got out of the car, and the guy went to beating on my fist with his nose.
We all saw it. It never been described that way, but that's the way it went down, right?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah, my story, and I'm sticking to it.
NASCAR legend Bobby Allison on Raceline Radio, coast to coast in Canada. Let's talk about some of the changes rules-wise. Lower downforce package this year. Cars are moving around more, making them a little harder to drive. Is that, how do you look at the rules? I know you've been outspoken about some of the rule changes that they've made. How do you look at this downforce thing, along with the tires that go off a little quicker? Is this our artificial stuff, Bob, or is it kind of contrived? How do you look at that?
Well, the whole thing is contrived. First of all, they don't race Fords and Chevys and whatever anymore. Mm-hmm. You know, it's the car that NASCAR has chosen, and they've contracted a guy to do this design and build the parts and sell them to the race teams and those kind of things. And they go through a very strict,
tech inspection.
Yeah. And, you know, they've really taken all of the individual input away.
All the cars are the same, more or less.
Yeah, they're all the same. You know, and sports have been around forever and ever. I mean, all the way back to the Olympics, pre-Christ, I guess. But anyway.
B.C.
Yeah. You know, every athlete, every human being is competitive to some degree for something.
Yep.
And so that makes you look for an edge.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know.
An advantage.
If there are certain rules that still could apply to everybody, but somebody can do their own thing, you know, I think that's part of what made this thing so great to begin with. And so they've taken that away.
Made the level playing field, right?
Level playing field. Nobody wants a level playing field.
No.
You know, fishermen don't want it. Skiers don't want it. Nobody. Yeah. Basketball, baseball, football, hockey.
Yep.
Nobody wants a level playing field.
No.
You know, they may say they do, but they might lie about other things, too. So, you know, and that's the way I look at this. And, the present car is a pretty good race car, but it's completely artificial, where our cars were always reworked a little bit, but they always
resembled the factory car.
Resembled exactly what we were talking about.
Yeah.
It didn't take a decal on it to be able to have the fans sitting in the grandstand say, oh, that's what that kind of car is.
Yeah. What a wonderful thrill always to talk to you. Thank you so very much for the time. Great to see you here at Motorama. Great to see you in Canada. And come back and visit us again, because we always have a lot of fun talking to you. Thanks, Bob.
Mighty fine. I sure hope I can come back again.
From the Motorama show in Toronto back in March, there's NASCAR legend Bobby Allison remembering a few classic moments with you, and sometimes critical, too, of the way NASCAR does a few things. You notice he agrees with me. It's not the end of the world if races end under caution, and some of the Cup races are indeed way too long. Coming up, drag racing legend Shirley Muldowney, her event tour for charity in 2016, then IndyCar legend Rick Mears on Penske Racing's 50th anniversary. This is the Best of Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network.
Hi, this is Al Unser Jr. We're coming right back on Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. No medical exam or health questions will be asked. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Coast to coast, this is the Best of Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network. I'm Eric Thomas. Since we started this program 24 years ago, we have been privileged to enjoy unprecedented access to some of the true legends of our sport.
Shirley Muldowney is a racing pioneer. Back in the 70s, the first female driver to hold an NHRA Top Fuel license. First female race car driver to win a major sanctioned championship, winning the Top Fuel title three times. Now 75 years young, Shirley was back with us with the fans this season at selected NHRA national events, supporting her newly created Shirley's Kids charity to help children and their families through financial hardship. Like previous guest Bobby Allison, never one to shy away from criticism of her sport when necessary, we welcome back the First Lady of Drag Racing from April 10th. Always a pleasure to have Shirley Muldowney with us on the best of Raceline Radio. Shirley, we know you're very excited to return to a number of NHRA events this season with your new Shirley's Kids charity. It's a great cause, and there are some wonderful people behind this effort too, aren't there?
Yes. There are. So, I mean, they're the greatest. Stan Holt and his lovely wife, Sheila May. Yes, they're, well, he's the boss. He funds it. He picks up all the loose ends, so much so that we're able to give 100% of the money raised to the kids. The only thing is they don't tell me who the kid is prior to the event.
Oh, okay.
I'm too soft-hearted.
Yeah.
That's the reason. So I still don't know who it's going to be. Kids that are, you know, indirectly, directly connected to the sport somewhat,
right.
But
right.
That's not a requirement. If we get wind of a needy kid that's out there and needs help, that's the direction we go.
Shirley Muldowney, three-time NHRA Top Fuel Champion, drag racing pioneer legend, is with us on Raceline Radio. The tour started, I believe, at the Gator Nationals in Gainesville, Florida, a few weeks back. Is that correct? Tell us how that went.
That was my first time out. Everyone was, and I went to everyone in NHRA, and even the Fox Sports 1 people. I said, come on, help me a little bit. This is my first time out.
Right.
You know, and my first attempt at this, you're going to have to hold my hand a little bit. And they all did. NHRA was wonderful. And it came off, it was perfect.
Fabulous.
It was
good.
It was perfect. But the hardest thing about the whole thing was keeping it a secret. Because everybody wanted to talk about it and write about it prior to the event, and we wanted to keep it under wraps.
Yeah.
But when we handed Jaden's mother and father that big check, it was a facsimile of a $5,000 check. They
nice.
Were just floored.
Yeah, yeah, over the moon. And that's what it's all about, is helping out the people who need it, right, Shirley?
Yes.
Yeah,
yes,
yeah, yeah.
They really needed it.
Shirley Muldowney, three-time NHRA Top Fuel Champion, drag racing legend. Pleasure to have her on Raceline Radio across Canada. You look at the sport now, the power and the speeds and the fuel categories.
Mm-hmm.
There's not much of a gap anymore between Top Fuel dragsters and Nitro Funny Cars. Do you ever take a deep breath and think to yourself how cool it would be to have one more toot in
of
these cars?
Oh, every day of my life.
Do you?
And, you know, I was pretty decent at what I did.
You sure were.
You know, I drove fuel cars for 33 years when they were nasty and evil and mean and dangerous and
yeah.
all of those things that, you know, we just, you know, went over our heads because we just didn't know any better. And started with the sport in its infancy and grew with it. And the sport got better and better and more safer. And the parts, you know, gained longevity. And, you know, it was just so much harder out there then
yeah, yeah.
than it is now. So that's why you see up-and-coming rising stars, and they tend to get famous overnight.
Yeah.
So nothing against the new drivers, but they pretty much have a, you know, nice little cakewalk out there.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
I think that's good. It puts on a good show for the fans. We needed new blood in the sport. I'd like to see them go back to the quarter mile.
Well,
and of course,
that.
I sound like a broken record when
yeah.
I say that. They
yeah.
don't. They don't want to make that change, but the fans want to see it. The
yeah,
fans
no.
really want to see that. So I don't know if they ever will, but now they're running 330 in the 1,000 foot. That's pretty much the only gripe I have. But as far as the safety end of it and how NHRA has taken this wonderful spectator sport and made it the best spectator sport in motorsports, and it's just amazing
yep.
to me how well organized they are. But there is, I think it's passed me by.
Well, I don't. I want to take you back when you're talking about passed you by. I don't. See how your memory is. You have deep roots in this country, and a man I think you remember who first co-signed your Top Fuel license many years ago, along with TV Tommy Ivo, Connie Coletta, 1973, Bruce Mellenbacher Jr., former manager of what was known as Dragway Park, Cayuga. He wanted me to pass along his best wishes. Do you remember that occasion at Cayuga with Bruce signing your license, co-signing your license?
Yes. Yeah, I remember that well. It's very vivid.
But you do have deep roots and good memories of running at places like Cayuga in Canada. You've done a lot of
Cayuga,
racing.
Cayuga, I know I have vivid memories of Montreal General in hospital in Montreal at McGill University. But I ran in the West Coast in terms of Canada.
Yep.
Saskatoon.
Yes, Saskatoon,
Edmonton,
Saskatchewan. Yeah.
There's a lot of them that I can't remember now, but I ran a lot of invitationals there in the early 90s, made some very, very good money. I didn't have sponsorship, nor did I have, funding of any kind, so we started taking paid-in dates, and we'd go in and, pack those places,
yeah.
And the fans loved it.
First female race car driver to win a championship in a major auto racing sanction. Now you have ladies, and you mentioned her earlier, Erica Ender-Stevens winning titles in Pro Stock, Angel Sampe's titles in Pro Stock Bikes, John Force's girls, Courtney and Brittany are impactful, Leia Pritchett and Alexis DeJuria winning recently. You've got to be very proud, I think, of how the female drag racers have carried on your legacy. The machinery has changed. You mentioned that, but I think you've got to be proud of the way that the ladies have carried on what you first pioneered.
Yeah, well, I think they, anyone out there now, I think they do a pretty good job. Again, the bells and whistles are a whole lot nicer to drive, and the money is there. None of what I went through is, none of the racers, lady racers out there today are at fault for that. It was the territory, and I had to, I had to hang in there or I would not have made it. And NHRA, in the early days, they were not the easiest people to get along with. But once they realized, oh, this is going to sell tickets, my life was a little bit easier out there.
Yeah. Fans interested in learning more about Shirley's Kids can visit shirleyskids.org. You can make donations on site,
right? Please do, because we want it to be a tremendous success. We don't want poor Stan Holt to hold up under the all of the weight. We want to be able to keep this going and make it as big and as good as we can possibly make it, and it's going to do a lot of good.
Shirley, always a pleasure to have you as a guest on the Raceline Radio Network across Canada for all your Canadian fans, and there are legions of them. Best of luck with Shirley's Kids. It's a wonderful cause, and we thank you.
Thank you.
Drag racing legend Shirley Muldowney on the Best of Raceline Radio. For Shirley's Kids, their slogan, sometimes the smallest wishes provide the biggest smiles, and how true that is. And when it comes to Ms. Muldowney, a big legend with a bigger heart. So let's do another pit stop, Brad. We go back to green, though. Another racing legend from the IndyCar side, four-time Indianapolis 500 winner Rick Mears. This is the Best of Raceline presented by Subaru. Test drive a BRZ Sports Coupe today for the ultimate in performance handling on the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Steve Kinzer, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Subscribe to our radio shows at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Do not settle. Demand. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand.
Welcome back. It's Eric Thomas with the Best of Raceline on the Raceline Radio Network. 2016 marked a milestone for the most successful race team owner in the sport, the captain Roger Penske and Penske Racing. It was Roger's 50th anniversary in the sport. The primary consultant for Penske's IndyCar team, and certainly their number one ambassador, is one of only three drivers to win the famed Indianapolis 500 four times, and all with Penske. Six-time Indy 500 pole winner, 29 career IndyCar wins, with my all-time favorite driver, the legend Rick Mears, back with us again on the Best of Raceline Radio. I know how very proud you are to be a big part of that legacy. Would I be right?
Oh, very much so. And this is... it brings it home. It puts it in perspective. When you, like here at the museum with the display and everything else, you walk in the room and see everything laid out it actually puts a physical, the awe of it, it puts a physical size on the 50 years that you can look at all in one place, and it's just an incredible display. And it really brings it home as, you know, being a part of that. It's just, it's a great feeling. It really is. It's a great opportunity.
IndyCar legend Rick Mears, Penske Racing, four-time Indy 500 winner, six-time Indy 500 pole winner, 29 IndyCar wins, a very special guest across Canada on Raceline Radio. Roger's success, I think, is best exemplified, most would agree, the biggest race in the business and the dominance that he's had, the Indianapolis 500. Rick, 16 wins. You had four of those. Is that what fans will remember most about Roger's legacy? He's got his fingers in a lot of racing pies, including NASCAR, but I think his dominance at the Brickyard is something that will live in everybody's memory.
Oh, absolutely. I think it will. And you know, and it's just the love of the Speedway and, you know, Indianapolis Motor Speedway and you know, this is our Super Bowl, and I don't think there's any race that gets him as excited as this race. So I'm not saying he doesn't focus on the others, but this place lights him up. And so to be able to put the numbers together the way he has here and you know, to give us, from a driver's standpoint, the tools we need to be able to help him put those numbers on the board, it's fantastic for us as a driver. But I think this is his main mark.
Yeah, it's a known fact in the sport, especially in IndyCars, that Penske Racing is considered the best team in the business. When you first arrived there, was that a daunting task for you to maintain that as a driver? And people would say there's a lot of pressure to maintain to be number one. Did you find that to be daunting for you?
Yes and no. I mean, it was at first because, when we first got together, that was one of the first thoughts that went through my mind was, well, no excuses now. I've got to perform. And I was just hoping that I would be able to, because I was still so new at it, I was hoping I'd be able to get enough experience quick enough, basically, to keep him happy. And that was kind of where the pressure was at. But then, typical, you know, Mr. Penske took the pressure off the way he's always done, and in everything that we've been involved with. You know, he came to me and said, "Hey, I've got the other guys. You know, I've got Sneva, I've got, you know, Mario, and these guys, you know, to run up front." He said, "You just go out there and get the laps, get the experience that you need, and you know, whatever pace you need to learn it." And so he was great at immediately taking the pressure off of me.
Yeah.
You know, I think he knew that I wasn't gonna, you know, nobody could put any more pressure on me than I put on myself, because that's why I'm here.
True. Yeah.
But I didn't have to worry about it. I could just go out. And that allowed me, and what he was doing was, he was allowing me to put all of my focus in learning what I needed to learn and not have to worry about anything else. And that's just one of the great things he always does.
IndyCar legend Rick Mears celebrating 50 years of Penske Racing on Raceline Radio. Rick, you still work for the man, for this team, more than 20 years after you retired from driving. You were very comfortable in that role when you first took it on, and you're still very comfortable in that role, aren't you?
Yeah, very much so. And I love being a part of this team. And, you know, it's been family after this many years. And to be able to stay involved, and, you know, it was great when I decided, you know, when I made the decision to get out of the seat, you know, Roger was fantastic, because I wasn't ready to get out of the sport.
Yeah.
I didn't know how it was going to go, you know, so when I first brought it up to Roger that I was thinking about getting out of the seat, and he did his typical, you know, "Hey, that's a decision you have to make, you know, you." But then he helped me with backing it right up with saying, "But if that's what you decide you need to do, then I'd like you to stay involved with the team." And so that was a big plus for me, because I wanted to stay involved. And I knew the desire was going from the driving end of it, and the performance would be on its heels, and it was time to go. So to be able to stay involved and still feel like, you know, you try to help, build a little better mousetrap and put some more numbers on the board, it's great.
IndyCar legend Rick Mears on Raceline Radio. How special would it be for Penske to win number 17 at the 100th running of the Indianapolis 500 in his 50th anniversary? How perfect would that be?
Oh, I can't even imagine. it would just be unbelievable. It really would. But that's what we're going to try to do. You know, we're going to try to help make that happen for him, because it would be fantastic. It'd be a great one to win. And that's, like, you know, this being the 100th anniversary and Roger's 50th. You know, I want to celebrate, and I think we need to get the word out for everybody to come out and celebrate this 100th win, because
true.
I can't speak for everybody else, but more than likely, I probably won't be here for the next 100, so I better celebrate this one and make it count.
Yeah, there's a very good chance of that happening. Rick Mears on Rick Mears on Raceline Radio. You've been a strong advocate for reducing, Rick, the downforce in these cars to improve the racing. Let them move around a little more. Heck, lift off the throttle in the corner so you're not at terminal velocity out of the corners. You said, I'm tired of being nice about this. The fact is, grip created by aerodynamic downforce is our enemy. At the moment, the downforce is so great that it masks the handling and hurts the racing. Can we reduce the downforce effectively and make the racing better, Rick?
I think we can. You know, it's something you can't do overnight. And
no.
That's why I think, because I've been arguing this point for 30 years, when I was driving the car.
Yeah.
And I think at some point we will, and I think it'll happen. But it's something that's gonna be tough to do, and that's why it hasn't been done, because it's gonna be a pretty good project. You're gonna have to build cars, the way you think it's gonna be, and you got to get the tire manufacturer involved, and then construct and design a tire for the loads, and help bring some of the feel back into the car and that kind of thing. So it's a big project. And it's going to take some time to do, but I think at some point, it'll start going that direction.
Rick, I hope I don't embarrass you, but everybody across Canada knows that you're my all-time racing hero. It's always a distinct pleasure to spend a few minutes with you. Here's to 17 Penske Indy 500 wins, and let's get you back with us again soon on Raceline when you're in Toronto. Thank you very much, Mr. Mears.
That sounds great, Eric.
Celebrating 50 years of IndyCar competition with Roger Penske, the man who won four of Penske's 16 Indianapolis 500s from March 13th, Rick Mears on the Best of Raceline Radio. Amazing numbers indeed. We'll take the final pit stop, Brad, but upon return, tell you about next week's show and more on The Last Lap. This is the Best of Raceline, powered by the heart-pounding turbocharged WRX STI on the Raceline Radio Network.
This is Jordan Zoke, and you're listening to Raceline Radio.
Send us all your money. Sign up for our free podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher, and we'll send you a free subscription for Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand, absolutely free.
Eric Thomas with the Best of Raceline, coast to coast on the Raceline Radio Network. White flag signals is always the last lap. Next week, our Best of Series show number 2, our Christmas week special, will feature replay interviews with Brittany Force, her sister Courtney, and her spouse Graham Ray Hall, F1's Romain Grosjean, and motorsport author on Jeff Gordon's new book, Joe Garner. Hey, listen, don't forget, you can still send us your notes and questions for the contest. Use eric@racelineradio.ca. We'll be back once the 2017 season begins with another round of our Subaru Raceline Mailbag Trivia Contest. But when checkers fly, we say goodbye. That's our Best of Show for this week. Thanks once again to our special guests, Rick Mears, Shirley Muldowney, Bobby Allison, and Billy F. Gibbons. Thanks, as always, to Brad Hoffman for tech ops and pre- and post-production, and to all of our network affiliates, operators, and, of course, listeners and sponsors coast-to-coast for partnering with us during our 24th season on the air. So for all of us at Raceline Radio, I'm Eric Thomas. So long, everyone. Raceline Coast to Coast on the Raceline Radio Network is driven by the 2017 Subaru WRX and WRX STI. Nothing sounds like it or drives like it. Learn more at Subaru.ca. And by the Subaru BRZ Sports Coupe. Subaru, confidence in motion. Talk to y'all again next week on the Best of Raceline Radio.